Okay, this is Carolyn Crabtree. I'm with Billy Lowry at the McDowell House. It is October the 23rd, 2009, and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Mr. Lowry, tell me a little bit about what you do for a living.
I do restoration on old homes, just like this right here.
Just like this one?
Like the McDowell House.
So do you do those all across the state or just?
No, just central Kentucky.
Just central Kentucky? How long have you been doing that?
About 15 years, but I've been associated with restoration probably for 25 years.
How did you get interested in that?
Through Stanley Kelly.
Okay. From Harrodsburg?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I worked with him on projects. And so I just went out on my own.
Okay. So what is your connection to the McDowell House?
As a general contractor on this restoration project, we started February the 5th, 05, with a drainage, a new drainage system out to the street. All the gutters dropped into the lines and some new sidewalks. And then we drilled the wells for the geothermal in that phase. Hello. Partial electric upgrade.
Would you mind saying that again, please? I don't think I had it on.
Okay. And I think I... The following year, we started phase one. And we did a partial electric upgrade. And proceeded with installing the ductwork and removing the old ductwork, which you always have an asbestos problem, which we had to correct that and get rid of all that. And the phase two consisted of a total electric upgrade, which they got a grant to do the whole house. And so we installed a geothermal system along with a boiler for hot water to dehumidify the house.
And were there problems with the house that this was necessary to do that you can tell us about?
This is, as you know, a museum with a lot of old, original McDowell furnishings and their relatives, that's what I understand. And it's they got the money to the grant to do that. And Joseph Hopperman, the architect, is one that designed all this. And it keeps a relative humidity over the whole house and seems to work fine. I think they had some problems with the computer that regulates the temperature. There's no thermostats on the walls. They're mm-hmm. built into the cold air duct returns. And the computer senses that and senses the humidity, and it will dehumidify the house or humidify, whichever is called for. And we painted the house, Craig painted. And of course we had to do the wall channeling to get the ductwork and electrical in.
What does that mean exactly? What is wall channeling?
Wall channeling. cutting the walls to get access from first floor to second floor.
Okay.
And to install all new wiring and then get the refrigerant lines to the attic.
Is that where the air conditioner system is?
There's four units in the house. There's one in the attic of the old kitchen. There's one in the main attic to take care of the top floor. And there's one in the office to take care of that part. And there's one to take care of the first floor.
Is that one in the cellar or?
Yes, ma'am. It's in the basement.
So that's why it was so critical to get that water out of the basement that
right.
they were having problems
that's
with.
Why we put a new drainage system all the way around the house, took it to the street. And in fact, they had to go all the way to the intersection because there wasn't a storm drain.
Really?
Which took care of that.
I thought they had storm drains all under this town.
Second Street didn't have one.
My goodness.
This first block. Then we did some changing in the backyard. Of course, we had some archaeological digs to check for artifacts and put in a more new sidewalks. We did that. In 08, after we completed the rest.
Now, you didn't make any changes to the main sidewalk out front?
No, ma'am.
Just on the property itself?
Right.
Okay.
That's a...
Now, is all of that part of phase one? Or have they started phase two in the restoration?
No, that completed phase two on installing the units.
Oh, it did?
And the total electric upgrade.
They have told me that there will be another part to this restoration, including
right.
a roof and some other parts.
And repointing the brick, it'll be done in three phases.
Okay.
And, I'm having trouble up here in the operating room with the brick because the mortar's deteriorated.
Really? How long
point.
Do you think that mortar's been in those since the 35 restoration? Did they
the
do that
pointing,
then?
Right. Excuse me. The pointing was done in the whatever year that was. They
by
did.
The WPA?
Yeah, right. And, but, it's the wrong type of mortar. It's hard mortar, which... just have to be cut out. Of course,
what
that's
type
not,
of mortar would you put in there?
Well, it's a special mix because you don't want your mortar harder than your brick.
Really?
But the, of course, down here is not the problem. It's up it's south wall of the operating room. Get my directions. And the west end, or the kitchen, is bad shape. It's going to be repointed in the second phase. The third phase is the north
mm-hmm.
part of the operating room and dining room.
Now, is this brick, or do you know, is it original to the house in the beginning, or was it replaced?
There's a lot of questions about that. And when this part was added. I feel like that it was added after the frame part was built. And of course that's from working in the attics and seeing how it was built and how it was added onto. Which I don't think there is a date that that frame part was built. And
they don't know the date.
Not a,
So which part of the house do you believe is built first?
The frame.
The frame? And that was...
That's just mine.
About 1809 or something, or was it before that? Do you know?
I don't really know.
Don't know?
I don't think they know.
Well, I had talked to... We had found an old log cabin up on 3rd Street that we wanted to save. I talked to him, to Mr. Kelly and some others about it to see if they had...
I talked to you. I went up and looked at it.
We weren't able to save it on the site. We do have the logs preserved to possibly put the building up eventually. But I was fascinated by the way that you can tell how buildings are put together and face and...
Yeah, that had been changed. Ceilings raised and, you know, and there's a lot.
Have you noticed anything like that in this building?
No.
Was it always built this tall and things like that?
Yes, ma'am. It's a well-built building.
Is it?
The frame, yes. You can always go to the attic and get an idea.
Did you find anything up there that indicated anything other than a professional construction?
No, ma'am.
I mean, like pegs in the roof or anything? I'm always curious about these old buildings.
Yeah, they're very interesting. That's why I do this.
Now, do you plan to do part of the work that will be coming up?
I hope so. I mean, I'm bid on it.
All right.
And I have several bids already.
Have you? What is your favorite part of the work that you do with restoration? Do you have a favorite part?
Well, it's seen put back to the original state it was in, was built, if everything's, if it's possible.
Have you worked on any other homes here in Danville or in the county?
No, my first project was the house at Lancaster.
Really?
And, of course, I didn't do the exterior. I did the interior.
Oh, it's
then
beautiful.
I did the White House at Camp Nelson.
Okay.
And that was a total restoration. Mm-hmm. Interior, exterior, we totally gutted it out.
Really?
And
is that still considered a restoration when you do that, when you take the whole thing and rebuild it?
Well,
did you rebuild it with new products or use what you took down?
What we did, we gutted the inside, all the plaster, and restored part of the siding and added some new and new windows. All new electrical, new heating.
Okay.
Really, there was no changes to it. Maybe the landscaping might have been different, and sidewalks and so forth.
Now, who was responsible for hiring you to do that one at Camp Nelson?
That was the Jessamy County Fiscal Court. It was a bid job.
And so the county was actually restoring that house.
And the architect was Greg Fitzsimons out of Lexington. He was a wonderful person to work with.
Now, is Mr. Opperman still doing this type of work?
Yes, he's out of North Carolina, but he does the whole Eastern Seaboard.
So that's his home?
Yeah, Western Salem.
Really? Well, they had given me his name to interview, and then they said, don't do it, because...
No, you never.
But I'm going to North Carolina next week, so...
Yeah.
I doubt if I'll travel all the way to Winston to do it, though.
No, that's a very good ride. I drove down there one day and come back.
That was, because my home is about 50 miles from Winston-Salem. So we're going down just because I enjoy the fall down there. Well, what are other things that you feel like need to be done here?
New roof.
Which type do you think they should put on?
Well, I would, originally, you know, it was a shake wood roof, probably out of local timber. Of course, now the only thing available is your cedar. And then we're going to have an estimate for a copper standing seam.
Now, would copper be something that they would have done back in those years?
Yes, I feel like early 1800s they would have been.
In the work that you've done here, have you been able to find any artifacts that were hidden somewhere in the house or up in the roof or up in the ceilings that would be interesting? No.
A few empty beer cans. That's
of our period or someone else's? Now, has any work been done in the cellar or in the part of the building that did have water problems other than just trying to get the drainage out?
Yeah, you know, stop the water. Now, of course, there was a lot of work done, during the WPA, and I think, wasn't there some done in 65?
Yes, I believe there was.
And, I think what they excavated the basement, made it, took a lot of dirt out, and poured a concrete slab and laid brick.
Okay.
And that was probably in the one of those two. Because it's, you can tell there's a concrete shelf that runs around about that high. So that was probably taken down probably 16, 18 inches to get more headroom.
Okay.
Because usually in these old homes, you're lucky if you got a 6-foot headroom in the cellar or basement, whichever.
Yeah, we've been in several. That was what was so interesting about the log cabin over there. Their cellar had several feet above where you stood. And I don't know if someone else has done that. Uh-huh, that's the one on Third. I'm not sure if someone else had already dug that out.
Probably did.
But it was solid stone walls all the way up, dry laid. And it was interesting. Now, what is the wish list that you contractors might have for Mundell House for the future, other than the roof? Anything that you see that needs to be done here?
Well, it's the brick needs repoing.
Oh, okay.
And the roof. The front step, the top landing, got an estimate. Replace that, and two of them as you come in the office door, notice they were deteriorated.
That's Do you feel like those are original steps to this house?
No,
no. I know the house was used many different ways before it was restored.
And Carol says this front entry is not original, you know, the doors and so forth. So thinking things documented about it other than architects probably are looking at it.
Well, if there were unlimited funds here.
Yeah, I know we'd like to have it.
What would you see done?
Well, like I say, go back again, get the roof, new roof. And the copper would be would last a lifetime. You wouldn't have to worry about no root. And these wood shingles, 15 to 20 years is a life of those.
I know at Constitution Square, they have to replace them quite often.
And of course, they got a lot of trees over there.
Right.
That's bad for
them. That makes a difference, right?
They don't get to dry out. A wood shingle gets saturated plum through, and they need to dry out. If they stay wet all the time, there's mold and moss will grow on them, and that's bad.
Well, I appreciate you doing this. I don't know that I have any other questions for you.
I can't think of any.
And if you have anything else you'd like to tell us, I'd be glad to let you do that right now.
I can't think of anything.
What are some of the projects that you are working on now?
I'm over at the other side of Stanford on the Gooch farm. It's a brick, the original part is the brick front, which is story and a half, and then there's about 1910, they added a frame addition to the back. And this is belongs to Dr. Gooch.
And is Shirley. That the house that they feel maybe of the same period as the William Whitley house? I had read something recently about a home that they felt like the brick was as old or older than William Whitley House.
It's supposedly about 1810, 1815, the brick part.
Do you believe the brick here at McDowell House was made on site, or do you feel like it was made in the community somewhere?
There was. I don't know when they started, but on Dillehay Street, there was what they call Dillehay Brickyard.
That's a very old brickyard, I know that. Late 1700s, I believe.
So it's a good chance, because you're limited here. You've got to have the right soil to make brick. It's got to be so much clay and a certain percent sand and to make a good. And these are good brick. They're good, solid. There's a few of the yellow brick, I call them pumpkin brick, that was on the, when they dried them in the kiln or kiln, whatever you want. They were on the outside. They didn't get the heat.
And they that what makes them yellow?
Mm-hmm. They're not fired as well, because they build a conglomerate of brick, it's laid this way and that way, and then of course they build a fire in the center, and there's brick on the outside that don't get the right amount of heat, and they're usually laid on the interior
really
part of the house, but some of them gets on the outside and they'll deteriorate.
I know there is some brick that is made to be painted and some that is not. What is the difference between those?
Well, that would be the softer brick.
You have to paint that to protect it.
Yeah, keep it sealed. And your Mr. Gooch is, of course, he lives in California and he has some family. That's one son, I think, lives in Lexington, one in Stanford, and the other two are in California, I think. And of course, it's hard. I met him once. Hard to communicate with, since we're 3 hours difference in time. Mm-hmm. And that's been in his family. Well, his great-great-grandfather was born in. So that's how long, it's been the Gooch family. And we're doing the exterior, we're painting that brick. Well, it's already painted. Of course, vines, they let those vines grow up.
What does that do to a brick house?
Those roots will grow in the mortar, and they'll, every crack and corner, they're even in the attic. Mm-hmm. And you've got to use a grinder with a what they call a paint eater on to get those little roots. I mean, they'll grow right on these stacked on there. Mm-hmm. Of course, they'll be in the brick and what with the joints. So we finally got them all off, got them primed this week. We're just doing the exterior, new windows.
This building does have new windows in it too, right? Here at McDowell House.
They're a single pane. Now they're close to the original.
Really? Well, those two windows look like they have some protection over them.
Yes. Yeah, they have a
here on
storm,
the porch.
Right. And there's a couple up there. Well, I think that, some of these are inside.
They put the storm windows inside?
Yes. And they're plexiglass.
No, they are like the other buildings on Constitution Square. They try to keep the integrity of the history as much
as
possible.
Yeah, I like this. But you can't hardly tell that they're on there, really.
Right.
And, but you can't clean the window. I mean, it's hot.
I see that.
Now, these we took down and cleaned them. Of course, we reglazed them all and painted them. But those were...
What about the shutters and things like that? Do you feel like they're original?
I restored all of those. There are some of them that are... These are the oldest.
They're certain. How can you tell that?
Well, the way that they're made, the molding and so forth. But I took them all down, took them to my shop, and reworked them. Maybe they had some new parts and scraped and washed. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. The front with this traffic, how dirty. I reckon it's exhaust, whatever.
Oil.
And off the
like
tires.
But, where is your shop?
It's at my home. I live on between Danville and Parable.
Do you?
On Tucker Road.
Well, are you available for other people? Do you advertise yourself, or do you just
never
do it
did.
By word of mouth?
Yeah, I never did advertise. Don't have a business card. Of course, here, you know, this last year it's been slow. Also, I did a last year with Jim Thomas. He's the retired past president of Shakertown.
Okay.
And I did one of the houses that he had bought from Shakertown that's on his property, which they had bought it. And Jim Coger, he was the president before Jim Thomas, and he lived there. And I think there was 6 or 7 acres that Shakertown had bought for him. So Jim about finally come up for sale, he bought it. But it's on his, you know, it's right, it's fine. So we restored it.
Is it an original Shaker house?
No, this was, it's got a big stone in the center of the brick part. It's 1795, I think.
So it was before Shaker Village?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
Of course, it's a few miles from Shakertown.
Toward?
It's back.
Harrodsburg?
Yeah, back toward Harrodsburg. And
I know there's several buildings along there on 68 that are across the street from Shaker Village that they still own, right?
Yeah. Oh, this is back toward Harrisburg. And it's back off the main road about a mile. But it's
you must enjoy what you're doing. What is your favorite part of the work?
Well, it's just all of it. I mean,
you like it all?
Yeah. And getting complete.
Maybe you're like, I tend to be the kind of person that doesn't like to do the same thing all the time.
Well, see, that's got these old houses. They're none alike. It's always something different. And, you know, I used to build, back in the 70s, I built new homes. And everything was pretty much the same old thing.
Right.
And then in the 80s, early 80s, well, got to be so much competition, that's when I got started in restoration, working for other people.
So does Mr. Kelly still do this type of work?
I don't I haven't seen him in several years. His son is taking up the work.
Are there very many people around who do this kind of work?
Not the total restoration. There's remodeling, and then there's restoration. Entirely different. And I have the tools that I can make any kind of molding. You know, I have to match up the old original.
I was going
to
ask you that, if you actually could take a piece of wood or stone or whatever you needed to do and make something to match. In fact, I was going to ask you about the home out near the Shelby house called Arcadia. Did you do any work there? I know they did quite a bit on restoration of that house.
That's on 120.
It's on old 127 down near the end.
Now, I've never...
They even had these little... What are those things called at the corners of the doors?
Rosettes.
They even had those with dogwood blooms, and they had to replace some of those. So is that the kind of work that you do?
Yeah, that comes into carving.
And you do that as well?
Well, some. There's not much to me other than someone's got one or two missing. And I have turned some on a turning lathe that was ramped. No flower or anything. But you just take wood chisels and sit down and go to carving. It's very time consuming.
Do you enjoy that?
Oh yeah, when my hands get worked. They crank. Yeah, arthritis. My legs are going to give out first.
Really?
Yeah, my knees.
So yeah. It's hard on you to do this kind of work then?
Yeah, you're always down on your knees, crawling around. But anyway, I've enjoyed it. Because I've been self-employed all my life.
I didn't
retire from no big company. That's why I'm 67 years old and I'm still working. I got to.
But don't you find it rewarding to work with your hands?
Oh, yes.
And create things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's part of it.
I have a feeling that our society misses so much because they don't do that. Mm-hmm. They don't create. I know even women could look at a quilt that they had made and feel a certain amount of satisfaction in that, that kind of thing. We're missing out on something, I'm afraid. I guess it's our creative nature.
Yeah, quilts always fascinated me.
We're not expressing it like we should be. Now, let me ask you one more question about the geothermal. Why did they go to that system?
Well, they had natural gas heat and one furnace in the basement, and it was just totally not suitable for a museum, as you know, and it's so expensive. And now they've been a little disappointed in the boiler. It's back in the summer, which you wouldn't think you would be using natural gas, but got excessive. I think they got it corrected. I think it all goes back to the computer.
It got excessive in what way? Too much heat or not enough?
No, the gas bill was excessive.
So the geothermal still uses natural gas?
No. The boiler's entirely separate.
So they're still using natural gas in some way.
But it's
way.
On the boiler. And that's for the dehumidifying and humidifying.
Okay.
That's all it's for. And also, it's it can be a backup heat if the geothermal cannot produce enough heat while the heat from the boiler circulates through the units.
Is that done automatically too?
Yes. It all goes back to the computer. And it's which I'm computer illiterate when it comes to, so I don't.
Well, even our cars have computers in them now.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you got to depend on the
technician. Don't have to understand them.
No, we use them. And, but it's a, it's like I say, everything's designed for a museum. And it's for, you know, to preserve the old furniture.
So when they are closed during the winter months, this will still be operating to protect the furniture and the house itself, the walls, all of that sort of thing.
Yep, those units, those pumps run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And, can the people who work here make alterations to the settings, or
no.
Is it all just set?
It's all set through the computer. You can go into the computer and change it. And there's about every month, in some cases, the computer will change the temperature and the humidity. But it also, it senses, there's one right there, that senses the exterior humidity.
Oh, really? That's what that is?
And temperature, right.
And it goes down through the system?
Yeah, it senses the exterior humidity. And if it's real humid outside, well, that naturally the boiler will run more to heat the air up, which is, you have to understand the whole system before you think you would want heat in the summertime, but it dries the air that's blowing through the ductions.
Okay.
If it needs
instead of you having a floor humidifier, you have.
Right.
How much does a system like that cost?
It's
I wasn't going to do this. I wasn't going to ask the cost, but
I don't have my papers with me. But it was very expensive. And,
but in the long run, they feel like for a museum, that's
yeah, preserved.
That's a preservation.
House and furniture.
Okay. So in the long run, really, it will pay for itself because these things will be protected for
right. And they're
many,
irreplaceable.
Many years. They're irreplaceable,
I mean,
things. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That might. Is it a clean type of system where dust and things like that would be kept at a minimum too?
Well, it has filters just like any other unit. And it's
you mentioned the archaeological digs that were done. Was that a requirement by the
yes.
state?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if they found anything of interest?
They got a lot of articles, but it's what you find in every city in that you go digging in the backyard. You'll find bones and pottery and old broken dishes. See where they put the whales, there was six put out there in the courtyard. And of course, they had to come in, and the McBrides associated with UK did a dig there. And then whenever we started back here with the sidewalks, so forth.
Behind the apothecary shop?
Yeah, they did dig there. Now it's kind of mandatory. You know, it's like your highways.
It is mandatory or it is not?
It is. If they feel like that there's, you know, it finds a bone or a artifact of some sort, then they'll come in.
Well, I know several incidences here in town where people have found things but did not report it. Is that normal too for people,
yeah,
some contractors to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
there was, I'm trying to think what year it was, in the early 70s, probably 71, we had an addition. I worked for a construction company, added an addition to the telephone.
Over there at the building?
Yeah.
On 4th Street?
Put an addition on the back. Of course, we had to dig the basement. And of course, I was just a carpenter, you know, working for the company. And they ran into an old dug well. And of course they brought the then, you know, it was Bell Telephone. Their engineers up, and anyway, they had a got a backhoe and dig down in. You never seen like a old bottles. I mean, they was hundreds of them. And of course, they dug it all out, put it in the dumpster, and then turned around and poured the well full of concrete.
Well, that's pretty close to a place where I had been told there is a long tunnel that goes back from Central Kentucky Bank all the way back down 4th Street there to another location. And it's bricked in. It's very, very old. Have you heard about that or anything?
Was it a storm drain or a...
No, no. It was something that was built back in the early 1800s, late 1700s.
Wow.
And it probably went back to some kind of water source maybe. I don't know, but I just... These stories kind of float around in Danville.
Well, and then I put the footer in. Remember the microwave tire that was over there? I put that footer in. Had a local contractor that dug it out. And we dug into a, well, there was a stone house that was on the, white stone house that was on the, what is that?
Martin Luther King?
One of the street that closed, that went behind the hospital.
Martin Luther King.
Is that it?
Uh-huh.
And it was behind it, and of course it was the side of, you know, where the microwave tower was. Because there's a 50-foot square footer that we put in. And we dug into half of a cistern there, and then this corner over here was half of an old cellar.
Really?
And it...
So it was the foundation of that house then at one point or something?
The old cellar had... there was a doctor's house closed because it was a lot of test tube, you know, funny looking things.
Well, Dr. McClure had an office across the street there, right? At the where the Chamber of Commerce is located, in the old brick house there.
About the McClure?
Yes, uh-huh. Wasn't it right across the street?
Yeah, on this one.
So maybe before that street was built, there actually was a cotton mill
right
there at one time.
And also a there was another one that they started and didn't work out. What was it? Well, it was in that same area. There was another business that was
I can't
in.
Remember that one.
Wasn't a hemp.
No, hemp factory was up on where Broadway, corner of Broadway there.
I was reading it in one of the was one of the books here. Oh no, my brother-in-law gave me a Kentucky history of Danville and so forth.
Well, there's a lot of interesting history here, and McDowell House really fits so much
whole,
with it and improves,
yeah,
helps it so much.
On the way to 4th Street. Yeah.
Right. Across the street at Constitution Square, there's so much history over there. I hope it will be continue to be preserved like you're trying to do.
Yes.
Your work is trying to do that. I thank you so much for this interview.
You're welcome.
And I hope that things go well for you and your work.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.